Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
He lived among them. He was with them. He interfaced with them. And so to realize that God is in us, and it's not about us, but it's about Him being in us, and that we are to reflect the kingdom of who God is. And so it's Christ in us and who is among us. You know, and how many of you believe and just know already that God's passion and heart is to draw people to Himself? He's doing that already. And so we are just His hands and feet. We are those conduits. We are those ones that tie the dots together. And God has drawn people to Himself. And it's God being among us. And then Christ working through us. And just realize that whatever, God gives us words, what to say. We've been talking about the encounter and having that faith to step out and just do what God's called us to do. And so He gives us words. He gives us even just a little insight what to, by helping somebody across the street or going and being a presence in that neighborhood and you seeing what's happening, and then you be able to have the eyes to see what God wants you to do. But, sometimes we know what to do. The Word says this is what we do, and here's what the opportunity that's been given. But I don't know about you, but sometimes it seems like there's a chasm between those two things. So what Confluence does is we try to help connect the dots a little bit and say, come on, we're going to help you cross that chasm a little bit. It's not as difficult what it is as it is, because basically, it's just about showing up. It's just about being there and just like the challenge and the opportunities that you're going to have in the next week. I would encourage you to go out on a Saturday. And again, you might not have any experience, but 80% of it is just showing up and asking God to give you the words to say what to do. And this has been a saying for me the last year. And whatever you do, do something. because we sometimes like start analyzing and let's figure this out and how long will it take, when God's just saying, come on. I want you to just show up and be that incarnational presence there. Mm-hmm. There's three little quick examples I want to tell you of people who are totally examples of, they have crossed the chasm. James and Yolanda. Is Yolanda in here today? Yolanda? Okay, I know she was going to try to come, but they come to this church here. And what they did is they saw a need. They had a passion for people who speak Spanish and people who had a hard time learning English, people who are trying to get their GED in Spanish because that's their first language, and it's so important and critical for them for education. But God is using them in an amazing way. They built a program from the grassroots, just not even really not want to do, and then they went out and talked to other people and figured things out. And now they're just loving on people. We have like 50 students right now they're working with to help get their GED in Spanish. And you should just see them. Amen. That's clapping over there. Amen. It's about investing your life in somebody, and that's what they have done in an amazing, powerful way. And then not knowing what to do, but yet having that initial tug in their heart. A second person I want to bring up, some who comes here to faith as well, is a lady named Jeanette. Jeanette's been coming to faith for 10 years. After the first year, she goes, I'm going to go and jump in and help love on those second grade kids. So she does that, okay, for the last 9 years. And I don't know if Jeanette made it in here tonight, but, she's been taking care of those kids. So she worked for the Small Business Administration, and about a year ago,
she worked for that for 40 years and decided to retire.
And she told the people at her employment, she goes, it's time for me to retire now. Because she was one who was planting the seed of helping like missionaries like us. Well, she was one who supported Confluence, ministries. And as she began to give financially, she would pray for us and pray for the ministry. And she realized, they're about being that presence in the community. And when I retire, I'm going to go work at Confluence. And you know what? She's there 4 days a week there, and she really helps us now. And she's an amazing person. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, again, just at that, you know, crossing the chasm. And the last person I know who goes here, she's a single mom, and she works for a company. And she's in charge of the volunteer piece of this big company that you would know. And she said, okay, dude, do you have any options for us? And I go, well, why don't you come? And we're having a Christmas party for the Whiz Kids that we serve there in that West Colfax neighborhood. And you can come and let's throw a little party and give some gifts to some of those inner city kids and have a, cook a little meal for them and just hang out with them for a night. So they all said, that's perfect. We'd love to do that. So they come and they do that. It was a beautiful little party that they threw. Just they cooked something in our little kitchen that we have there. And then they got to stay there and watch our director have all the little kids gather around them and share the gospel with them. And here are all these volunteers from this company just going, wow, this is amazing. So again, just that simple idea and that opportunity.
So as you can see, you know, we are not actually a church. We're an outreach center. We are a collaboration of people from all over the church working together to be an effective, relevant presence in a community of need. So we're not a church. We're an outreach center. And so we do meet practical needs. Some of the needs are 52% of the births in that neighborhood are to unwed mothers. And so we have a lot of single moms. So we started a bilingual moms program, a MOPS program there. And we meet once a month. It's been great. Jude mentioned that we have Whiz Kids in that community. We adopted the local grade school in that community called Colfax Elementary and have just been pouring into that school. That school, when we started, was the bottom three school in Denver. It is now the top five growth school in Denver. Praise God, because people, we've been pouring into that school, tutoring children, providing meals, giving coats, hats. Actually, 357 kids, every kid in that school got a brand new pair of shoes one day through an organization called Little Feet. Every kid running around with a brand new, and they were all different. And it was so sweet. I didn't hear one complaint, like, I want your shoes. It was like, look at my shoes. It was so precious. So we do MOPS. We do Whiz Kids, which is an after-school tutoring program. It's just helping their kids, you know, do their homework. And we have club time. We get to share about Jesus. And sometimes we have dinner. And we have snacks every week. We have English as a Second Language, 4 levels, about 40 students doing that. We have the GED in Spanish, as Jude mentioned, about 50 students with 30 people on the waiting list to come through that program. Even in our Whiz Kids, we're doing 17 students right now. We can actually hold up to 30. And I have kids waiting, but I don't have enough tutors to tutor them. So sometimes I have a kid come up, did you get me a tutor yet? It's like, not yet, but it's coming. You know, it's just, it's hard, you know, to say not yet, but it's beautiful, the kids that are being transformed. This West Colfax community is just now beginning to thrive. Where it had been, there had been so much crime in this neighborhood. Do you know that the police told us that crime has gone down 19% in the year 2011 around our building? 19% crime went down. And they attributed it to our presence in the community. Praise God. You know, we also started a local neighborhood organization. There was no voice on that side of Colfax, and really felt like we needed to do something practical to help the community and bring them together and give them a voice for the needs in that community. So we helped to start the neighborhood association. It's like 480 people strong. It's one of the strongest organizations in the city now. They have a voice. They're actually engaging with the local government to work and see changes happen. So practical. So they meet once a month in our building for that. So again, you know, our building is not only there to provide programs for the neighborhood, but we also are collaborators. Our passion is to see the different streams of the body of Christ work together, whether that's liturgical, charismatic, evangelical, social justice, all these streams coming together. When there's a collaboration and a colliding like that, it is powerful. We honor each other. We don't all believe the same, but we bless each other and we honor the gifts and we see it as an enrichment in our lives and we see a power in that. So we have 16 once a month collaborative meetings in our building. That's pastors, worship leaders, urban youth workers. We actually have a law group. We have aftercare ministries from prison. We have just lots of organizations coming and using. We don't charge, but we just really want to see collaboration happen. And again, another thing we do in our West Colfax neighborhood is we provide a neighborhood festival. Started out as a little block party, and it has grown so much. We've had 1,700 people at the little block party, you know. But now we have networked 35 nonprofits in that community and churches to just provide a day of fun, food, and awareness of what's going on in the community. And, of course, then prayer and support.
You know, and the things that we've learned in our own little community, God says, you know what, you know, take this out to the nations. You know, we too, wherever we're at, we all have our own Jerusalem. And then there's Judea and Samaria and the farthest part of the nations. And so that's our heart, you know, as well, is to go to the nations. And so we've, you know, been to China and Peru and Juarez and Italy and Thailand with Ajay and Nancy. Going and seeing the work they did up there and doing a little worship thing there and doing some outreach. And, you know, it's just so fun to be connected to what God is doing around the world. You know, we all have gifts. We all have talents. We all have something to give. You know, we have a little tag that says, passionate people who are collaborating on purpose. So if you have a love for music, you know what? Use your gift in the kingdom in some way. You love to cook, you know, we'll help you cook a meal for something. Tutor. I know here at the church there's so many opportunities, you know, for people to be engaged. And now we are is kind of like a conduit as well to help with that if you need that. Mm-hmm. If you like working with computers, you know, you can help somebody learn how to use a computer for the first time. You like swinging a hammer. Anybody have a gift of swinging a hammer? All right, there you go. Yeah, I mean, that's awesome, man. Not everybody can do that. You don't want me swinging a hammer because I always hit the wrong nail. So, but I could play the piano a little bit. So that's a gift that God has given. But even like cutting hair and setting up and tearing down, there's so many others here. The Stedmans are so involved in helping us to go and set up for sound because outreach doesn't happen by itself, and it takes a lot. You know, it takes like even architects, whatever it is, you know, and it all boils down to this, using their gift to love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's as simple as that. So what we try to teach is this, and try to, by praxis. So a lot of praxis with us.
Yeah.
So like, you know, we're gonna teach you the class in like 5 minutes, okay?
You're gonna get out
and then we're gonna go out in the street and we're gonna say this is how it works out in the street. And particularly those who are going out, you'll see how what it means to walk across the room. But you know, this church does an amazing job cultivating a passion for God. Mm-hmm. So all of us in here, aren't we here because we want to know God? We want to know His Word. We want to learn how to pray. We gather together in corporate worship. We want to really be those disciples and those true, authentic followers of Christ. And when we do that, we become passionate. And then we begin to say, God, what are you passionate about? And God puts in our heart, who does He care about more than anything else? People of all His creation, of everything, that the things that are dear and most important to the heart of God is people. So God puts compassion out of our passion for Him that will translate even having compassion in our hearts. And that's having the heart of God. What does He have passion for? And then out of that comes a heart to serve. You know, so when it comes to that point of being a servant, we just make ourselves available. Hey, I know how to swing a hammer. Hey, I know how to cook a meal. Hey, I know how to maybe help somebody across the street. It's that simple sometimes when we talk about being the hands and feet of Jesus. So having that heart, you know, and all I could say is at the end of the day, when everything is done, we get to heaven. He's not even going to say, well done, good and faithful evangelist or musician or construction worker. What is he going to say? Well done, good and faithful
serving.
So our serving, our heart for missions is about serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mm-hmm. And what does it really mean to serve him in that way? So for me, for those who have said, I'm following Jesus, you know, our goal is to be, at the end of the day, a faithful servant unto the Lord. And then it says, blessed are the feet who bring good news. You know, that's what it's about. Very simple, of bringing good news through our words and through our actions.
And we just want to say thank you so much to Faith Bible Chapel for the 10 years that we've actually made this our home. You are our home church. And the support you've given us. You are true kingdom-minded people. Pastor George, Pastor Roger, I'm telling you, these are kingdom-minded pastors. They're collaborators. Jude and I have never felt controlled, squelched, you know, driven in any way. We have been nothing but empowered to do what we believe God has called us to do. This church has supported us in faithful ways, and they're collaborators, and we're encouraged with that. We know that you are people and you are pastors who have a heart for the lost. And not only are you out for evangelism, you're in for discipling, making true disciples, and then going out to the nations again. So we just want to say thank you. We love this church. We love you. We love the support and the encouragement and the collaboration and all that has happened to just see the vision be birthed and now just flourishing and running full strength ahead. So thank you.
Yeah. I mean, Roger. Thank you very much.
And with that, we want you to know we have this Easter sunrise service you'll see out there. The night before, we're going to have a worship time and a concert in the park, Peace to the Streets. We have a lot of things going on in the streets. You'll see a flyer out on the desk, too, that if this is just a little help. Discover Impact Living through Confluence Ministries. And this is the city, community, and world. And these are the actual dates and things we're doing and the contacts. Who to contact to help you get involved. And you can fill out the little flyer here and tear it off as well. And then there's also a little flyer out there that just is this spring, what we're doing, all the events and things that we're heading into. So we really want to encourage you to get involved.
Amen. Amen. Let's give him a big hand again. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for Confluence and Jude and Cindy, but I want you to really take some time on the way out. We have a table out there, and all these opportunities are out there, and you can take some. If you know somebody that would be a great fit as well, take some things to them as well. So we're going to pray, and before Jude comes on with the team to sing, but let's just lift up your hands. We're going to just agree in prayer. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for Confluence Ministries. We thank you, Lord God. You birthed this years and years ago, Lord God, and what a need there is, oh God. So we just thank you for that location there in West Denver, right off of Quinton and Colfax. What a precious facility. And we've seen it, Lord, change. Lord, it was old and dilapidated synagogue, and now it's just a beautiful, beautiful community outreach center. Lord, we just know your presence is there. Lord, you brought something to life. Lord, you brought life to it. And Lord, the real life, the real work is in the people. Lord, I thank you for Jude and Cindy and all the staff, but Lord, all the volunteers and the churches, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the teams that are coming from different parts of the United States, to youth teams that will come and stay and work and be a part of that community. Lord, we pray for open doors for them, Lord, to where every neighbor, every household, Lord God, would know that not only does Confluence exist, but the God of Confluence loves them and wants to draw them to himself, Lord. So we just pray, oh God, that you would touch hearts, change hearts. We lift up the many, many children that need guidance and direction for their lives. And you're the one, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, you would guide, oh God. So we just thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, 2013, 2014, you've got wonderful plans, Lord. So we just accomplish all your work now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, guys. Well, we're going to travel to Nepal, and where we have two of our families that we support. They're Nepalese, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to show some pictures here. First of all, we've got Mohan and Sangeeta. Many of you may remember them when they were here. They went through a YWAM training school, Frontier Missions, and then they served here in the Denver area. They lived at the Colorado Homeless Families Apartments, and we got to know them very well, but they couldn't wait to get back to Nepal where they can serve their people. And so they're back in an area. They did live in Kathmandu, but now they're in an area called Pokhara, which is up in the west, kind of northwest area. It's more in the rural area. And here is Mohan teaching, they're training teachers up in the villages and all. They do teacher training. And you'll see that it's pretty chilly in their classrooms. There's no heat. But the teachers are there, and they teach the Bible principles to the teachers, where they can in turn teach the students. Here's a picture of some of the ladies that they're stomping out mud and hay, and they're getting ready to build the church. But you got to first stomp it out, and the next picture, here's the church. So we praise the Lord for the ladies that are out there, you know, stomping out the. They make plaster out of that. And this is their church in this village. And then, of course, everybody has a chance to come together and eat. And Mohan and Sangeeta provide a lot of the food. They provide goats for the villages. They can have some nourishing, where the children can have some nourishing milk. They're eating mainly rice and lentils. And here's another teacher training session. And let me just say that this is a typical house in the village, and the Christians there are several Christian families, and they're the only ones that have toilets in their house. And that's pretty impressive in that village. And once again, the gospel is spreading. Many of these villages just 10 years ago didn't even know, didn't have a church, didn't know about Jesus, and Mohan and Sangeeta are doing that. And So let me mention about the children. They were going several miles to school, and there's wild animals like leopards that were chasing some of the kids. Where they have actually had some of the children killed by wild animals. So Mohan and Sangeeta are helping them do schooling right there in the village, so they won't have to go so far. Mohan mentioned to me the other day that they had two pet monkeys, and the leopards came in and carried them away. So, you know, it's very dangerous, but the kids need education, and they're doing a mighty work there. Jesus is becoming known in that village. So, amen. Here's a little prayer session. They're praying over the sick. They've seen healings. They've seen people delivered from demonic spirits. If you remember, Nepal is a Buddhist and a Hindu nation, and they believe in a lot of the spirits. So, but they're willing to receive prayer, and they really are starting to respect the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here's a village shot here. Some of the poorest of the poor, and yet the gospel is spreading. So Mohan and Sangeeta Tamang, and they're like Ajay and Nancy. They're apostles to their people. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to travel now from Pokhara down to the capital of Kathmandu. And this is Yaku and Manju, and Yaku is the brother of Mohan. And I remember being there years ago, and we prayed. Yaku came up to me. At that time, he was a teacher. And he said, "Pastor Roger, would you pray for me? I want to start a church in my neighborhood." And so we did. Stan Jacobs and I prayed for Yaku and Manju. And about 6 months later, he was having a small fellowship in his home. And now he has a congregation over 100 people, and they're building a church. Let's go ahead and show the next slide. And they're having a retreat up in the hill country. And look at the people that have come out. Other churches have joined him, but a lot of those people are part of his church. and they have a Bible studies. They have a chance to pray with each other, have fellowship, talk about giving each other testimonies of what Jesus has done in their lives. And just so neat. And it's almost like a little church camp that they were able to bring people to. And they had baptisms. There was a river up in the up in the hill country, and so they baptized many people. Many of the believers had never been baptized, and I imagine that water is a little chilly. Praise the God. And just the singing and worship, most of the people have never been in a situation where they can sing and worship together because they're just so busy, and it's just foreign to their religion that they were raised with. But Yaku has taught them worship songs, and they've got people playing instruments now. And so worship is a big part. Here's some of the teenage girls doing a little worship dance, giving God the glory. And they also go to the different factories and where there's bricklayers that are doing this for a trade, and they're sharing the gospel with these bricklayers, these construction people, and many are coming to the church. Here's some ladies that serve the lunches and meals for the different factories that make bricks. And here's Yaku sharing. Here's the factory workers that on their break, and he's giving out tracts in their language about Jesus. And working with the children, he tells me that they're now in a building project. The house that they building they're renting has gotten too small, and they're going to build and be able to expand. And this all started, you know, just a short time ago. And here we are. And they're not just staying in their neighborhood. They're going to all the different work projects and, once again, to the factory workers. And you can see where people are hungry to hear about Jesus. And they're holding up, you see, they're holding up Bibles that they're passing out. See the little New Testaments in Nepali language. Okay, praise the Lord. I'm going to have Jude pray for Nepal and Mohan and Sangeeta and Yaku and Manju. And so let's just agree in prayer, okay?
Amen. I can't pronounce all those names again, but you know, let's just really thank the Lord, first of all. God, thank you for these servants. These ones who have been radically changed by the love of Christ. And as a response to their passion and love for you, Lord, their desire is to go and invite others into the party.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We thank you for their bravery. We thank you for their commitment. Thank you for their sacrifice. Thank you that you are using these ones, Lord, in an amazing way to proclaim and to spread the good news. And they're not just keeping it for themselves, but they're training others to take it out. And they're going to other places, other little towns. Lord, we thank you for this amazing gospel that you have given all of us, Lord, the responsibility to give it back and to use this, Lord, what you have given to see people come to know your love and grace. So we thank you that you are moving in this part of the world in Nepal, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are revealing yourself, Lord. Lord, through and past the other religions and other belief systems, but Lord, you are just shining through, Lord, through these servants, God. And we thank you. Truly, Lord, you are doing things, Lord, beyond our imagination and comprehension. Lord, thank you for this is a fresh work. This is not something that happened 10 years ago, but Lord, you're doing this now. And Lord, our hearts are jumping with joy and grateful, Lord, for your work that's being done. Would you strengthen them? Would you give them everything they need? Lord, would you empower them? Lord, would you continue to surprise them? Lord, would you continue, Lord, to help them to be grafted? Lord, just to stay grafted to you, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for this work that you've done, Lord. And we just are excited, Lord, that we can pray in their behalf. And Lord, I just believe sometime when we are in heaven, Lord, you will show, Lord, this church and these saints here, Lord, how through their prayers, how what it did as a result of, Lord, you hearing the cry of the heart that's here for them, in behalf of them. You call us to stand in the gap, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord. We stand in the gap for these servants of yours. In your name, Jesus, we pray.
Amen and amen.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.